Grace and peace be to you in the name of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. Amen. Sometimes when I'm looking at the text for the Sunday service, I become a little bit concerned about how much you might know about the particular text, especially the setting, the context into which it was given. While I appreciate you know that the text is God's word and accept it as the truth, in our brief Sunday readings such as we have, sometimes it's difficult to grasp what's actually going on in that text. And today's Old Testament reading is one such example. Now, while the words in the text may be quite clear in what they say, they unfortunately don't give us any clues, any background to what is taking place. To demonstrate what I'm saying, I wonder if I was to give you a school teacher's test right now and ask you all this morning to write down three things that you know about Jeremiah, okay? I wonder how you'd go. Three things about Jeremiah, one of the great prophets of the Old Testament. The book of Jeremiah and the book of Isaiah are the two largest books. But how much do we know about Jeremiah? All right, we know he's a prophet. There's one. You got that one. Ticked that one. We know he lived a long time ago, and we know he was about God's business. There we are, we got the three. You can all relieve, sigh of relief now. Okay. Today's text that we shared begins with Jeremiah having a bit of a whinge. Actually, it's more than a bit of a whinge, it's a right royal bellyache. This is one unhappy prophet. In today's language, we would say that Jeremiah was really cheesed off with God, with the response of God's people, and even the message he was delivering. As I said, he was one unhappy, miserable prophet of God, being sent by God to the people of Israel. But you don't get much out of that text. You actually have to go back a couple of chapters and find out that being sent to the people of Israel, Jeremiah was to call the people of Israel back to the one true God. They had gone off in every direction. Jeremiah, when he came to the people, he preached a fire and brimstone sermon, straight down the middle, called it as he saw it. He even got to the stage, he picked up a clay jar and he threw it and smashed it in front of them all and said, "This is where you are all headed. This is what is going to happen. You will be scattered. You'll be taken into slavery. You will be no more a great nation." Really laid it on the line. I thought about that and I wondered what I could do this morning that might leave an impression in your mind. I thought I'd kick the font over or wipe everything off the altar. You might remember the message, but you'd remember the service, I guarantee you. But I decided against it. No sooner had Jeremiah done this than the high priest of the temple had him arrested, had him beaten, had him placed in stocks in front of all the people where people would make fun of him. The next day Jeremiah was released and told to clear out, to get lost. Poor old Jeremiah, bruised and battered, humiliated, hurting, both inside and out. He now vents his anger, his disappointment at God. Well, Jeremiah said something like this, and I paraphrase this. "Lord, you tricked me. You did a great con job on me, and I fell for it, hook, line, and sinker. Lord, I know you are stronger and more powerful than anyone, yet you let the people of this nation overpower me and knock the stuffing out of me. Everybody laughed at me and I was the joke of the week. They poked fun at me while I spent the day in the stocks. It's just not fair, God. In fact, God, you're not fair." Yes, he was one angry, hurt prophet. Now, part of the problem that Jeremiah encountered was that the sermon he preached, as I said, was all doom and gloom, calling it as he saw it, calling as he had been directed by God, of course. Jeremiah told the people of Israel about all the terrible things that were about to happen to them because they had given up worshipping the one true God and were worshipping other gods, and if not them, then themselves. You see, why this was so upsetting to the people of Israel was that life was pretty good at that time. In Israel, things were going along fine. Sure, the Assyrians over there and the Babylonians over there and the Egyptians back there, they were all at each other's throat. But here was Israel prospering, at peace, and doing very, very well. They hardly wanted to hear about this crackpot prophet who came along to tell them all this doom and gloom. Look around you, Jeremiah. Look around you. All the other priests and prophets, they preached sweetness and light to the people of Israel. But all old grizzle guts Jeremiah could do was preach doom and gloom, calling people to repentance for their sin. So it's no wonder the people took no delight or no notice of Jeremiah's message. Okay, that's about 2,500 years ago. 2,500 years ago. In many ways, the world hasn't changed much. Especially here in this wonderful country, the call to repentance seems to be out of place, maybe even out of time. Your neighbours, your friends, your loved ones who have not come to know Jesus as their Lord and Saviour see no urgency in their lives to repent for anything. Living is good and the future looks bright. We've got 7% unemployment, but 93% are employed. That's got to be good, doesn't it? We've got some dear power. I haven't got any good news concerning your power. We live in good time, despite there being some hardship. Mind you, if you are part of the 7%, it's not so good. But we live in good times, as did the Israelites way back then. We have peace. We have everything pretty much we want. Even some churches would declare there's nothing to worry about because they say that God is a God of love. And that is true. They say God is a God of love. God isn't serious about sin, repentance and punishment and all that sort of stuff. It's only negative thinking. No wonder our pews are so empty. Besides, if you talk about sin and repentance and forgiveness, and which I say is love, you might upset somebody. So let's not talk about it. I might even ask yourself, how urgent do you see the repentance, your repentance, when you hear the law proclaimed? And how urgent are you to receive the blessings that the gospel offers to you through Jesus Christ? How urgent in your life is it? Pretty ho-hum. I'm not much of a sinner. I've got to stop and think what I sinned this week. One of the delights of ministry that I have experienced as the years have rolled by is that the requests from the elderly to receive Holy Communion. You know, the older you get, it goes from, Pastor, I want Holy Communion, to Pastor, I need Holy Communion. That's a powerful difference from wanting to needing. However, back to our text, it reveals that even as angry, even as upset as Jeremiah was, even though he threatens to chuck the job in, the job of being God's prophet, Jeremiah admits he can't. He can't fight this calling of God. It's bigger than himself. The message that Jeremiah has been given was too important. And so despite his suffering, his disappointment, his hurts, his aches and pains, Jeremiah knows he must go on. In fact, he says, and I quote, "But if I say I will not mention him or speak any more of his name, his word is in my heart like a fire shut up in my bones." I imagine today we would speak about this feeling of Jeremiah that he is having as a gut feeling which cannot be ignored. I'm sure at different times in our life we've encountered such a thing in our lives where you just knew despite what was laid before you, you knew the direction you had to go. A feeling that is felt throughout all his bones, a feeling he cannot put aside and forget, a feeling which compels him to speak out. It's a shame more Christians aren't afflicted with this same fire in the belly feeling, compelling them to tell others of the good news, the gospel of our Jesus, to a world who prefers to be indifferent. That's what I like about the children. They step out where we hesitate. What a wonderful gift. I think maybe Jesus might have been better to call 5-year-olds and youngers as his disciples than perhaps the ones he did, but he didn't. Stepping out, giving witness of your faith, reminds me of a story I once read about an elderly Christian lady who never missed the opportunity to tell someone about Jesus' love for them. And the story is told that she stopped outside of a shop one day and began chatting to a chappie, telling him about how God loves him through Christ. People inside the shop thought it was a bit of a joke because she's actually talking to a wooden dummy that was there to display the shop's wares. So after a bit of a smile, one of them went out and said to the lady, "Excuse me, madam, but do you realise you're talking to a wooden statue?" And the elderly lady thought for a moment and then she quietly answered, My eyesight is not as good as it used to be, and I guess that's why I made the mistake. But that's not as bad, she said, as wooden Christians who never tell anyone about Jesus. For Jeremiah, despite the hurt, despite the humiliation, the ridicule and the rejection, he continued to proclaim God's message in calling the Israelites back to God. Jeremiah would not be compromised, and so he continued to proclaim God's message, even if it seemed out of place and out of time. This morning in the gospel reading, we read about, well, we heard about Jesus directing, giving guidance, insight to what it means when you are told to go out and proclaim the gospel. And that even though I'm not going to read it again, you heard there were some pretty tough things in there. Pretty tough things. You and I as Christians, followers of our Lord, also disciples, also proclaim a message which to many is out of place and out of time. But we are not to be compromised by the world or our own feelings, compromised to make God's message of law and gospel to be something warm and fuzzy and not real. You see, the church is constantly under pressure to accommodate its witness of God's law and gospel to suit society's ever-changing people, to accept the change of human morality as the rule for adapting God's word so that humanity can justify its rejection of God's truth. However, to water down the word of God so that we hear only the gospel and ignore the law, or hear only the law and ignore the gospel, is the first step to self-destruction. After his beating, Jeremiah could have chosen to preach a different message. I'll rewrite the sermon. He could have chosen to preach a different message from God, one which did not offend anyone, one which would not upset the Israelites' comfortable presence. But such a message would have been false, bringing greater sufferings than the unwelcomed message that he had first proclaimed. And that's happened down through history many times. For example, you may not, or you may know, that this Sunday is often set aside in remembrance of the Augsburg Confession. Okay, is that a new word for everybody, or you all know it? Ah, no, you're all good Lutherans, you all know. Augsburg, when people of faith stepped out and proclaimed into the world the truth of God's words. And we are the benefactors of that proclamation. Here in this lucky country, it's easy to think that we're living in party mode. I'm a bit worried about this state because over the hill in Adelaide, they seem to go from one party to another party to another party to another party. And if there's a hole, we'll stick a party in there too. I'm not against parties. They're quite nice. But do we lose sight of our purpose? We live in houses which are filled with all the modern convenience beyond belief. Things your grandparents would never imagine. Most houses have more than they want, more than they need. We have countless other luxuries. Plenty of food, good place to sleep, keep warm. Well, for most of us, not for all. And pleasures, well, you name it. It's all up for grabs. Little wonder that any message calling on repentance for people turn to the Lord is going to be met with the same response as did the Israelites to Jeremiah. Any suggestion that our values, our morals are on shaky ground is bound to be received by offence and ridicule. And yet, home invasions, assaults, drug addiction, gambling, the widening gap between rich and poor, do you know what? They're all getting bigger, not smaller. All on the increase. Surely we need to hear God's word once again. I read the other day, 1 in 7 Australian uses recreational drugs. On my count, there's probably around about 10 of you here who better see me after the service, okay? That's the reality. That is the reality we live in. Israel was also living in a lucky country, a country where God sent Jeremiah to rescue them from certain doom and slavery. And 600 years later from Jeremiah, God would send his son, Christ Jesus, to rescue the world, not Israel, the world from falling into eternal damnation. He sent his son into the world to lucky countries like Australia to rescue us from our sins and their eternal consequences. Through this Jesus, the living word, God offers you and I far greater blessings than ever this world can offer. God sent Jeremiah. Jesus sent the disciples. And you and I are also sent. As you hear and receive the living word, may you also experience a fire in your belly, as did Jeremiah. And may that fire, which is the Spirit of God, may that fire, the Spirit of God, compel you to share the good news, to tell others of the blessings that God has given to you through Christ Jesus. You know, you don't have to convert anyone. You don't. That's not part of the deal. You are called to tell people why you are a Christian, why you love the Lord God. A conversion, that's the work of the Holy Spirit. But you need to kickstart it in your witness of your faith. You don't have to witness to my faith, someone else's faith, just your own faith. That faith that we have in Christ Jesus, sharing the good news as revealed in both law and gospel to those whom God places in your care or in your company. Amen. And the peace of God which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.